Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Well, the campaigns for the yes and no votes are starting to get underway for the same-sex marriage survey, the marriage reform survey. I was out and about in Sydney yesterday and actually saw Tanya Plibersek handing out some enroll to vote cards with others from the yes campaign. So there's a very active recruitment for people, I think, from both sides to enroll to vote. And my reading of it is that Australians actually will enroll and they will have their say. People want this matter to be resolved one way or the other, and that's got to be a very good thing for our democracy. Now, just so you're perfectly plain about the view that I'm taking during this debate, I'm supporting the traditional form of marriage, the legislation as it currently stands. I won't be voting yes. I guess that means I'll be voting no. But that doesn't mean that I want to in any way disrespect or disregard the views of those who think the other way. And over the months and years, I've had the great pleasure and privilege of discussing the issue at some depth with some people with whom I clearly disagree on some points but agree on others. And one of those is Tim Wilson. He's the member for Goldstein and he joins us from Melbourne. Hello, Tim.
G'day, Stephen. How are you?
It's very nice to talk with you. Thank you. I'm very well. Are you in your electorate tonight?
I am. Oh, I'm at home and no, it's a quiet Sunday night trying to spend some family time.
Yes, well, I'm sorry about that. So you and I disagree on the point that there ought to be a redefinition of marriage, but tell me why you believe there ought to be a redefinition.
Well, I think what we should do is have an expansion, because if you look back at it, traditionally, homosexuality has been treated very poorly by the law. Up until 1980 in Victoria, people like me didn't sit in Parliament. We sat in prison cells for our what is now considered lawful sexual conduct. So it's hardly a surprise that relationships weren't recognised as akin to heterosexual relationships when people went to prison for living their lives. And when I think about it and the change we've gone through as a society since then, which is to say not just that people shouldn't go to jail, but that they should be recognised and respected, and that we should move towards recognising and encouraging people to enter into committed, stable unions. You know, a lot of people say that allowing same-sex couples to enter into the institution of marriage is a redefinition, as you've just done. I think it's actually a respect and an achievement of marriage and actually the ultimate conservative victory that you actually have people outside of traditional sexual norms saying, no, we want to be stable, committed, and let's face it, a little bit boring, just like the rest of you.
Just like heterosexual people. Okay, I get that. Well, Tim, but why marriage? Because you can have all of those things, but it doesn't have to be called marriage in the terms of the Marriage Act. If you define marriage a certain way, which the law currently does, and I suppose to say it another way, as history always has done, and even in societies where there were clearly homosexual relationships, committed relationships, they didn't call it marriage.
No, so there are two reasons. Firstly, because I put marriage on a pedestal. Marriage has a cultural power which transcends other forms of recognition of relationships. And we know this from experience here and overseas. People just don't take the idea of civil unions or civil registrations or civil partnerships very seriously. Whereas people know that when somebody gets married, they're making a public declaration to somebody who they're committed to enter into a lifelong union. And it's not just a pact between the two people involved, as I'm sure you would ascribe to. It's also a pact with that person's God. And it's a social compact as well, a cultural compact of other people turning around and saying, we're going to expect you to honour that bond that you've created. But more than that, I think that all of these, the proliferation of other institutions that give all the legal benefits and none of the cultural expectation undermines marriage.
But I remember in the 1990s legislating for a series of reforms that actually gave same-sex partners all of those things that you've spoken about except for the marriage thing.
But this is the point. We keep creating these institutions with all the benefits and none of the obligations of marriage. And all that does is dilute and weaken the integrity of marriage. I'm somebody who believes that marriage should be on a pedestal and that people should get benefits and be recognised and respected for making that lifelong commitment. When you say, oh, you're just going to enter into a civil union, there's no permanency, there's no lifelong expectation, but you're giving all the benefits and the rights. So you're actually weakening marriage by creating all these other institutions with all the benefits and none of the obligations.
In Canada, where they've had same-sex unions now for a long time, more than 10 years, less than 1% of either marriages or registered de facto marriages are actually same-sex partners, as I understand.
So what? Are there a small number? I don't know those figures you just recited, but what we actually want, I think, is a society built from people making commitments to each other for stable unions as a foundation for family and community and country. The reality is we're going through a cultural change. Back when it was illegal for me to sit in Parliament because I was busy in a prison cell because of my lawful sexual activity, it's no surprise that there was no expectation of commitment between people of the same sex. That has now changed, and we now have a cultural expectation where my parents expect me to get married. Other people's parents expect their kids, if they're same-sex attracted, to get married. And that's a fundamentally good thing and the good foundations for society. Stability, commitment and responsibility.
Our guest is Tim Wilson. He's the member for Goldstein and one of the four MPs and one senator, I think is the number, in the Liberal Party involved in presenting a draft bill. Now, Dean Smith, the senator in that group, he presented a bill a few weeks ago, and I think we're all presuming, and George Brandis said today, that something like that bill would be the form of bill that would come to the Parliament if the plebiscite votes yes.
Yep.
The problem is this, that bill doesn't provide the religious protections that many of us would be not just hoping but expecting. And certainly it's a very narrow protection that's provided in that bill, really right down just to the ceremony.
Well, I'll put it to you, Stephen, that I have made for over 3 years efforts to engage respectfully people from religious traditions to talk about the type of law that they want.
No, I know you have. That's absolutely true. And we have... go ahead.
No, and I know you know that, but the frustration is that every time there's an effort made to say what type of law would you like, people are happy to articulate what they want, but then when it comes down to, okay, will you support a change in the law, the answer is no. And so if you want a change in the law that recognises and addresses your concerns, you have to be part of the conversation. And so I know you just said on air before, if you vote no, you want to intention was to vote no. So that means that if you're successful, there won't be a change under a coalition government. And we know full well that the coalition will take these issues much more seriously and that everybody is open-minded to the concerns you've raised. So by voting no, what you're actually voting for is the Greens and Labor one day, who take these issues less seriously, to legislate. If you actually want these types of changes, you actually need to vote yes and sit down and have a discussion about how we're going to change the law in a responsible and respectful way.
Well, I mean, it's a really clever debating point, and you're right. Labor would produce a different... No, that's okay. It's okay. Labor would provide a different form of bill. I'm quite sure of it. But yes. As one who has discussed this with you and others, and you used to be the Human Rights Commissioner, so that's the reason you're so interested. And secondly, what you said a moment or two ago, that you want to marry your partner because of his religious belief. I just want to explore that for a moment, because that's a little different from some of the discussions we hear. But the fact of the matter seems to be that in Melbourne, where you live, the Catholic Archbishop would say, well, you won't be married in a Catholic church.
I didn't say I want to marry my partner because of religious belief. I said I wanted to marry my partner for the commitment, the responsibility and the cultural expectation to honour those that matters. And I've got to say, I do think this is where we have to be very careful, and I think those of a faith-based position need to be very careful about making sure they engage with the process if there's a yes vote. And I would encourage a yes vote, because it means we'll actually have this conversation under a coalition government about how to navigate the tensions between people's freedom and the issues around religious liberty, because at the moment we have some people from religious groups saying that we shouldn't have to bake cakes for people for same-sex unions or same-sex marriages, and at the same time also believing they should have the right to fire people simply because they might be in a same-sex relationship. Now, logic says that the Australian community isn't going to tolerate that one-sided nature of the argument, and that there has to be a full respect for everybody and how they want to live their life if we want to succeed in legislating sensible change.
Okay, but it's quite straightforward and commonplace at the moment that if you're a teacher, and the firing issue came up again today, I think because the Archbishop in Melbourne was canvassing that matter, but if you're a teacher in a Catholic school, if you're a teacher in a Christian school, if you're a teacher perhaps in an Islamic school, or I'm not as familiar with that group, if you're a teacher in a faith-based school, you need to, and the law currently allows for the employer to say, you've got to be an adherent to the religion, which means you've got to live in accordance with that religion. Now, if the religion doesn't recognise same-sex unions, and even in the draft bill we've seen, in fact, you have exempted religions from being able to, being forced to engage in a ceremony, so there's a recognition there that it is different for religions, then why does it not follow that schools should be allowed to say what their employment policy is going to be?
I'm not arguing that point. I'm simply arguing that if you want to reserve the right to fire people simply because of their loving and committed relationship, and I raise a broader question about whether that's what Christ would have done, but I'll leave that to others to decide because they're scholars of the faith, then making requests that you shouldn't have to do things like bake cakes seems to me to be somewhat of an overreach or request in response. I think we need to have a discussion. My hope is that people will vote yes so we can have a reasonable discussion about how to resolve this issue and to fully respect the freedom of everybody. And as you know, I've spent 3 years trying to have that conversation, frankly, with a lot of obstruction from people who oppose a change in the law, who are now demanding things if the law changes that they weren't prepared to consider or accommodate in previous efforts by myself.
Yes, I accept that certainly is the case in some cases. Not here though.
No, you've always been good to me.
No, that's good. can I put it to you though, Tim Wilson, that had we had that discussion up front, you might have a better shot, because even if you think back to the referendum plebiscite, and then there was Republic plebiscite, then referendum. It was the fact that people were unsure about what they would get that led many people to vote no. And in the case that George Brandis said today, look, it's simply a matter of changing the definition of marriage. Forget all this religious stuff. We'll work that out later. Well, for many people, their religion defines them. They don't want to work it out later. They'd rather like to know up front.
Well, firstly, we actually did have a model in the Republic referendum and people specifically rejected that. So, respectfully, I don't agree with the analogy. And the reality is, this was always going to be an issue resolved by the Parliament. And the question is simply, should we allow for same-sex couples to be able to enter the institution of marriage, and then the Parliament will have a discussion about balancing out competing rights? That's always been the job of the Parliament, and that will continue to be the job of the Parliament if there's a yes vote. The critical question for people of a faith-based community background is that Labor has said that within 100 days of being elected, they plan to change the law, and that hasn't changed because there's been this postal survey. So the question for people of a faith-based background is whether they want Labor and the Greens to change the law, or whether they want the Liberal National Coalition to have a discussion around changing the law. And if it's the latter, then the only logical thing is to vote yes and to work constructively with us in trying to get a sensible change.
Would you accept that if people don't think there can be a sensible outcome from this Parliament, that they should indeed vote no if they're concerned?
Well, if they want to do that, that's fine, but they've taken a double or nothing approach.
And they're waiting.
Which means ultimately that if they oppose a change and they don't think they can get their concerns addressed, then they might be seeking to achieve a temporary victory on the trade-off that later Labor and the Greens will write the legislation. Now, if you're not bothered by that and you're happy to take Labor and the Greens' interpretation of religious liberty, then you can accept the consequences of that. But if you're like me, who believes that only the Liberal and National Coalition will take into mind the interests of all Australians, concerns about same-sex couples who want to wed, but also making sure that we protect religious liberty as part of the dialogue and part of the discussion, then the only sensible thing is to vote yes.
Well, just final question then. You've been very good with your time. If the plebiscite ends up voting no, if the survey comes out as no, would you nevertheless, with your four lower house colleagues, consider crossing the floor to bring this bill on?
I've already said that if the public vote no, I won't be defying the will of the Australian people, and I'll respect that for this term of Parliament. Now, I don't know what some of my other colleagues think, but that's my view. Because while I don't think the best way is to deal this through a postal survey, and I've made those views well known before, if the Australian public wish to exercise their view in that direction, then that will be the result for this term of Parliament. But don't be under any misunderstanding, Stephen, that if there is a Labor government in the future, they have said they will deal with in the first 100 days, and you will get their form of legislation with their indifference to religious liberty versus voting yes, which means that the Liberal National Coalition, you know, happy to even work with yourself, Stephen, and happy to come back on the radio and chat to your listeners to find a sensible way through an amendment in the law so we can take Australia forward together.
Tim, whatever happens, I hope and pray that we'll still, as a nation, be able to have such civil discussions as these.
Of course.
All right, thank you for your time.
You take care.
Okay, bye-bye now. Tim Wilson, he's the member for Goldstein. He's a Liberal member, as you've heard. He is one of the MPs that has produced this bill, and he's behind the push for a change in this Parliament. He's been trying to navigate this for many years, as you heard, and yet this religious freedom question will not go away.